Good evening, brethren. Tonight I want to preach a sermon about the weapons of the world and how we as Christians have no fear of them, as time and time again the Lord tells us that they cannot stand. Where I kind of got the idea from the sermon is in Isaiah chapter 54, verses 11 through 17. If you'll turn with me there, Isaiah chapter 54, verses 11 through 17. There it reads, O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and your foundations I will lay in sapphires. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies, and your gates of crystal, and your entire wall of precious stones. All your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. In righteousness you will be established, you will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work, and I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Although the scripture is in reference to the Jews and their struggle against physical enemies, there is no reason to suspect that the same promise that God does not give the same promise to His chosen elect people nowadays. Tonight, I want to share with you all three weapons that the world tries to use to kill Christians spiritually, and God's solution to destroying these weapons. The first weapon is society. As society has an effect on Christians, since it is meant to break us down, as we see currently in the United States, society at many times stand opposed to God's word, whether it be the United States, European nations, or any nations of the world. As seen in Scripture, the nations or societies of the world have always stood against God's chosen people, whether they be the Israelites or Christians. The psalmist in Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, there it's written, Why are the nations in an uproar, and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. The nations many times stand arrayed against God's people and make them feel as if the Lord's people are small and insignificant, while they are the overwhelming majority. We can see this in Israel, as Elijah, one of the great prophets of old, prayed to the Lord when the weapon of society was being used against him. As we read in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 10, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 10, there it states, Then he came there to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Even the weapon of society got Elijah down, because like us, he was human, and did not like feeling alone, which is why society is so effective at attempting to kill people spiritually, as society wants to make you feel as though you are an outcast for serving the Lord, and that if you do not want to feel like an outcast or be accepted, that you need to forsake the Lord and serve the world so that you will not feel lonely. However, this weapon shall not stand against a Christian if he or she stands firm against it. God tells us time and time again that his servants in the world are few, as Jesus describes in Matthew. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Be created as servants so that the weapon of society shall not stand. Elijah even found comfort in this, as described in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. We as Christians, when society pushes against us, should find comfort in this as well, since God makes this same promise to his people, as we are told in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, that even though we may not see it, we are part of a society, a heavenly society, as described in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is a growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. God does not only make this promise that he created a safe environment for Christians to hide against the world, but that he will also deal with this weapon known as society for us instead. If you'll read with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 10, there it reads, "Therefore we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God, for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. Therefore, I can assure you, brethren, that this weapon will not stand." The second weapon that I would like to discuss, as it terrifies Christians, and for a good reason, is sin. It was, as it was fashioned specifically to keep all people separated from their God, since God cannot be in the presence of sin. Sin is a scary weapon. As we know from Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it states, "For the wages of sin is death." This weapon, when exposed to us, can and will kill us both physically and spiritually, if we are not careful in fighting our spiritual conflict. We are told that it can spiritually separate us from the one true loving God, as seen in Scripture, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." We should be terrified to be separated from our Heavenly Father, as we know only through him we can find comfort, grace, and mercy. However, sin is a strong presence in the world and was aimed to make Christians specifically fall. We see how sin makes us fall away and separate from God eternally through 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." This is a short list of a few of the sins that separate us from God. And the Apostle Paul warns us that there is a spiritual separation that can last eternally between us and God if we let these sins rule over ourselves while being unrepentant. Sin as a weapon destroys the body as well, though, as seen in Psalm 38, verses 1 through 18. If you'll turn with me there, Psalm 38, verses 1 through 18. "O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, and chasten me not in your burning anger, for your arrows have sunk deep into me, and your hand has pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long, for my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, even that has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Those who seek my life lay snares before me, and those who seek to injure me have threatened destruction, and they devise treachery all day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I, like a mute man who does not open his mouth, yes, I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no arguments. For I hope in you, O Lord, you will answer, O Lord my God. For I said, may they not rejoice over me, who, when my foot slips, would magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I confess my iniquity, I am full of anxiety because of my sin." With this psalm, we can see how brutal the weapon of sin is and how it affects a servant of the Lord. However, just like society, this weapon too shall not stand. God's solution to this weapon is his holy word, as we are told time and time again, that it will guide us out of darkness and towards the light which he is in. as seen in Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then a few verses down in verse 133. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. However, God also sends a Savior to help us against this weapon, to not only clarify God's laws, but to also give us the words of life. We can see this in John's account, in John chapter 6, verses 67 through 69. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." With Jesus, we can see this weapon of sin being destroyed, as through his sacrifice on the cross, sin has been rendered useless. The third and final weapon that I would like to discuss tonight, that a Christian should should watch out for, as it is the scariest one of all, is Satan himself. The devil has been around since the Garden of Eden and has accumulated ways to corrupt man in the years following the fall of man till the modern day. Although we do not know how long the devil has exactly been able to master his craft of temptation, it is clear that he has been around significantly longer than us. This is a scary thought, since he has been around so much longer, and we have not been around that much longer, nearly as long, so we haven't been able to develop the wisdom to combat him. The devil is described as a monster seeking to devour anyone, as seen in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Satan is a powerful adversary, and sometimes too much to handle on our own. God, in his infinite love and mercy, sought and created a way for this weapon so that it could be destroyed for his chosen people. The way that God chose to destroy this weapon is through his one and only Son, Jesus the Christ. We are told through the Apostle John that this was Jesus' one purpose here on earth, as seen in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. How did God, through Christ Jesus, destroy the powers of the devil, as well as set us free from sin? The answer is the cross of Calvary. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 54. Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 54. There it reads, "Now from the sixth hour darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who were standing there when they heard it began saying, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, truly, this was the Son of God." Through Jesus' death and resurrection, Satan, the final weapon that we will talk about tonight, would be rendered useless against God's people, as God the Father and Jesus fought and beat him. Although the devil has not been completely destroyed yet, like the other weapons, we have hope that it will one day be done away with when eternity comes to fruition, as described in Revelation chapter 20, verse 9 through 10. "And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Although these are just three of the weapons that plague Christians, as we have seen tonight, God has rendered them useless in their use against us. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, but have known that Christ is your Lord and you need to step into the waters of baptism, or maybe you were a Christian at some point in time and have fallen from grace and need the support of the saints who meet here at East Hill, we urge you to come forward as we stand and sing.